Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
You're very welcome to Friday afternoon's late lunch on LMFM Radio. We have the Friday regulars to come. We'll also be joined by the winner of the recent Gladiators, originally from Termond Fechan. She's with us this afternoon. Word foolery moves from 11 to 1 to late lunch today. I'm looking forward to my first chat with Grace Tierney. We have sport with David, and we have that Honk for 100 competition as well. If you want to get in touch with us on the show, 086 1800 658 by WhatsApp or text. But we have a remarkable story to start late lunch this afternoon, and I'm delighted to say hello to someone I really enjoy when she calls and her company. Yes, Cathy Crinion, welcome back to late lunch.
Thanks for having me. Lovely
Thanks
to be here.
Thanks indeed. And you're not singing for us today. Are you not performing?
No,
or not
doing, no, a little bit different today.
A little bit different, quite different, may I say. Look, for listeners today, we've been into this story for the last week or so, but you've been involved in it for a lot longer. Tell us about your great-great-grandmother. Her name was Julia Leonard Nee Caffrey, born in 1863.
So Julia was quite a striking woman. I know you have a photograph in front of you there that I gave you, so just before we started. Lovely, seemed to be a lovely woman. Obviously, this is way before my time, but my mother did an awful lot of research about this part of the family. And I suppose a lot of the credit of what I'm doing goes to her. She spent about 45 plus years kind of researching her past and her history and her family. And Julia's story came up within that. So Julia was 32 years of age. At that time, she was a mother of five children. Her eldest, Bridget, my great-grandmother, was 9, and her youngest child was just 18 months at the time. She had a row with her husband, Christopher. She accused him of having an affair. That's what we believe. And that's been handed down through family stories. And the next thing, she was carted, and I mean carted, off to St. Loman's in Mullingar, which was a mental asylum at the time. When I say carted, she literally went on a horse and cart because there was no cars at the time. The doctor signed her in and there was a police escort. She was brought into St. Loman's, left there. Her five children that were meant to stay with the husband ended up in the workhouse in Trim. And to cut a very long story short, he went off to Dublin with a woman, interestingly enough, and had 6 more children. The other part of the story was 9 months after she went into St. Loman's, Julia gave birth to a little boy. So not only did he send her in, he sent her in pregnant. And this little boy went on to be taken off, away from her, I think after about 3 months, and sent to a workhouse in Mullingar. So I'm presuming she was told he probably passed away. He was definitely told she died. He went on to have family himself, and in fairness to all the children, they did particularly well, which is a lovely kind of part of it. But at the same time, it's a really, really sad story. It gets sadder much, much, much later on. You know, 2011, very close to now, the HSE, for some reason, we believe maybe vandalism, maybe maintenance, we're not sure, decided to take up all the crosses that marked the graves of anyone buried in St. Loman. So she was one of the people buried there. She was there.
Sorry. She stayed for her life then. She stayed for her lifetime in St. Loman. She never saw the light of day outside those walls again.
No, she was 32 when she went in, and she had died of heart failure at 54. So she was 22 years in St. Loman's.
Oh my God.
Yeah, very sad.
That is just hard to contemplate and understand in 2024, isn't it, Cathy? It really is.
It is. And she was buried there. Nobody came for her. Nobody, we believe nobody visited her. We've no proof of anyone visiting her. So no family claimed her body as such. She was buried there. There's 1,300 people buried at this graveyard. But these crosses were marked, the graves. So there were no names on these crosses. Mm. There were metal crosses with a plot number. Essentially, each person that was buried was numbered. So she was 339. We knew that too. But all these were taken up in 2011, put in a shed, and no relative was ever notified. And they didn't even grid map it or anything to kind of keep record of where these crosses were. So it felt like we were cheated of something. We did go to visit her grave, whereas maybe other families may not have. And I can understand the stigma attached to having somebody in a mental health facility back in those days. You know, you're talking the 1900s. So for us, though, we did. We weren't ashamed of it. I'm still not ashamed. I'm writing a book about it. I'm far from ashamed. It's nothing to be ashamed of. I do believe if she had anything, maybe she had postnatal depression or something. Mm. She had lots of kids. She, like, you know, they were like... Yes. Stepladder, you know. And I just feel that we're owed a sort of not even an apology, but the people who are buried there are owed some kind of honour or some kind of remembrance, memorial, something to say, well, they're there. Because it looks like a field at the minute, Jerry.
They were people.
Yeah,
they were people who lived. They were human beings. They have relatives living today, like
absolutely.
Yourselves. And it's as if they just never, ever came into this world, lived a life in this world and went out of it, and no acknowledgement or recognition ever. I can understand how you and others feel about this. I'm thinking about one thing.
Yeah.
Would anyone have taken a photograph of the crosses in the cemetery? You know what I mean?
Flip that over there and you'll see. So there were photographs taken.
I see.
But the problem with it is now it literally looks like a blank field. The only cross that's there is a beautiful, proper memorial type cross. And that belongs to the psychiatric doctor that was there at the time. So he gets to stay. Yeah. But the rest of the patients don't. There's nothing there to mark their grave. And I think it's a sad reminder that they can be just thrown away and forgotten about. And now they're essentially any remembrance of them is in a shed. I think there's something very, very sad and very disrespectful about that.
Totally.
And also not telling the families that they were going to do this, I think, is quite sad too. Mm. I think, they have names of families because they used to send out reminders about memorial masses once a year for them. So they would notify families about it. So they could have notified those names that they did have, and they didn't notify anybody.
How many do you think souls rest in that plot of land? How many?
We've been told about 1,300. Yeah.
That's a lot of people.
It's a lot of people to pretend that they didn't exist or don't exist anymore. It's just a very sad story. It's a sad story for her, but it's also a sad story for the other people. And I think for me, at least telling her story kind of stands as a bit of a sort of reference to the rest of these people that are there. I know everybody has their story. Mm. It would be lovely if other people came forward. What we're trying to do, and my cousin Julianne is a huge sort of campaigner about this, is getting a memorial wall and the graveyard reinstated as a graveyard, and getting the names put up rather than a number.
Yes.
But we're finding that quite difficult to do. We are in talks with sort of those in charge to try and get that done, but we're coming across a lot of blocks with regards to GDPR names, etc. I can understand that too, but it is important to remember them and that they're not just a number, because the number is the same as the prisons. Like, it's just, it doesn't give them identity.
No, it doesn't. I'm just looking at her picture again. Wasn't she lovely?
She was beautiful. She was absolutely beautiful.
And her children there.
So the little girl on the left is my great grandmother.
Yes.
Yeah.
My oh my.
She was the eldest.
It's a beautiful, beautiful picture. It really is. Just going back to her and her time there, how would you know? Did any of the children ever have contact with her again?
No, we know for definite. That's definite. Yeah, we know.
Never.
That. Yeah. So my great-grandmother was around even up until I was 7 years of age. So my mother would have had conversations with her. They had no contact with her. They did with their dad, but they didn't with her. Now, I have some records from the hospital that I was given through a lot of hard work. Very hard to get them. And they were, a lot were redacted. So 7 pages out of probably about 400 pages. So only little bits, little snippets. Very sad to read. Very sad.
And off he went with that other woman. I want to come back to this again. So she wasn't mistaken at all, no matter what frame of mind you say she was in or whatever. Imagine, though, like, when you think of it, on his word, you know, on his word, the state and their actors acted and took that woman away from her children and her family and her home and everything else besides.
Yeah, absolutely. And I suppose, again, he wasn't the only man at the time to do those things. He wanted a different life. He wanted to get rid of the woman he had. And this is how he did it. I believe he was good friends with the local doctor at the time. That may have helped. I don't know.
Yes.
All of this is kind of familial story that you get handed down generation to generation. As I say, my mother has done a huge amount of research on this. So, and she's like, you know, super sleuth. She's amazing. Mm-hmm. But and it is her work, really. The bulk of the research is her work. I'm kind of just transcribing it into a book. But the reality is, this woman, as you rightly say, was taken out of her home away from very, very young children. She was brought to St. Lomans. By the way, she was brought to St. Lomans, and on her records, it said she was bruised and dirty when she arrived. So that may signify something else, because she gave birth 9 months later. Mm. I don't want to say anything. But your mind can't help going to those places.
Of course. Of course. There are others involved in this now, as you mentioned. And you've had a couple of get-togethers of people who have an interest in this.
Absolutely.
Families, people who worked in St. Lomans, etc. And you have another get-together coming up in May.
Yeah, we have another one on the 12th of May. It's on a Sunday at 3pm in the Annabrook Hotel in Mullingar. It is just for families or anybody who worked there, anybody interested in this, to I suppose it's about remembering these people that have passed away and not to forget it, and to see how we can come together and move this forward and actually get this graveyard reinstated as a graveyard and put some kind of memorial wall up there to remember these people so that it's not forgotten or that it's not sold off or whatever. Now, look, there's no talk of that, but just you're afraid of these things, obviously. So we have my cousin Julianne and her husband Hayden are fantastic campaigners, as I said, around the memorial wall and getting people, you know, all gung-ho. So they have a website called friendsofjulia.com that anybody can come on there, and if they have a relative or someone that was buried there, they can come on and submit the name, and hopefully we will eventually be allowed to put the names up there. Also, Niall Breslin, who better known as Brezzy, he's also helping us as well. He's doing a PhD at the minute all about mental health in St. Lomans, etc., and various other institutions in Ireland, and he's also very passionate about helping us and you know, getting this story out there, almost like a flagship story, but to represent everybody else as well.
Do you know, yesterday was Stardust. Yeah. And look at all the years it's taken.
I know.
And when you think about this historical silence, is the word, and you use those words as well, that engulfs, you think of the babies over in Galway as well. And why all these years removed? Why is there a silence? Why is there, you mentioned yourself when you went to go and look for information. It's not easy. There's so much redacted.
A lot of red tape.
What is this about? Why?
I don't know. And I genuinely don't know. I'd love to be able to say, well, actually, there's this reason and that reason. I don't know. That's still something where I'm looking at and investigating. It really is. You feel like it's almost like, well, if we leave them long enough and don't give them the information they need, they'll just forget about it and they won't look for it anymore. And it is reminiscent of Tune Babies. It is reminiscent of those kind of things where you're silenced. I don't want her silenced. I want Julia remembered. I want her story, and I don't have to tell the other 13, because this is a good representation, I think, of what happened in those times. I think this was an innocent woman. These children were definitely innocent children. And their lives were completely pulled from under them. You know, they lost their mother in an instant, and they lost their home, their life. You know, they look beautiful in that photograph. They have gorgeous clothes. You know, they don't look like they're particularly, you know, not well off. So they would have had a lovely home, and they end up in a pauper's workhouse.
I'm so moved by this, to be honest. I really am.
Yeah.
From I saw the story.
Yeah, it's very sad.
It's so sad.
Yeah.
It really is sad. It really is. Look, anyway, thank you for joining me today to talk about this. And again, I say this meeting is coming up on May 12th, 3 o'clock, Sunday afternoon, the Annesbrook in Mullingar. If you'd like to go along, if you have any connection or perhaps any relatives or anything with
or
Sid
even
Lohman,
just interested, come
interested
in.
Interested at all. Yeah. You're very welcome to come along. The book is on the way, I know.
Book
you're
is hopefully at the end of the year.
This.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
So look, I'm booking you now to keep in touch as
will,
this story evolves and develops. And I thank you for doing it because it is wonderful that your mum and yourself have been working on this. Your mum, we mentioned her again, who's done an awful lot of the hard work on this. But for today, Cathy Crinian, thank you so much for dropping in and telling the story.
Thank you, Jerry.
Thank you.
Great! I love TV!
We watch TV?
TV themes.
TV themes with Jerry Kelly on The Late Lunch.
Remember that TV movie we saw?
TV.
Oh, it's a toughie today. If anyone gets that, I'll be surprised. The TV theme from which show? We're fooling around with words in the company of Grace Tierney after 2 on Late Lunch.
It's time for Word Foolery Friday.
Word Foolery Friday
on LMFM with Grace Tierney.
Word Foolery Friday.
Yes, don't get confused. This normally happens between 11 and 1 in the mornings, but with our Sinead Brazel moving to pastures new, I am delighted and honoured to take on the mantle of word foolery in the company of the wonderful Grace Tierney. Afternoon, Grace.
Good afternoon, Jerry. It's good to talk to you.
It's great to have you with us on the show. And before we begin today, I want to throw out the mystery word today for listeners. And listeners, you got to come up, folks, with a definition for this word. And the word today is snortlywink. Snortlywink is the word. What do you think that means? Give us a definition. 086 1800 658 by WhatsApp or text, and let's see who gets nearer to the mark. We'll tell you more about that a little bit later on. Grace, great to have you with us to fool around with words, and our first word today is chopsticks.
Yeah, chopsticks. And this is a fun one because it connects three very random things. We've got nimble boys, a 16-year-old female composer, and the rescue of Robinson Crusoe. And the one thing that connects them is chopsticks, which is a little odd.
Please explain how.
I shall. Well, now, a lot of the time, English words have a story that lead back via French to Latin and maybe to Greek, but that's far from being the full story. And a lot of that's because English is a sponge for other languages and other words. Mm. And chopsticks is a great example of this because, no, it didn't come from the Romans. They didn't use chopsticks as far as we know. But it goes quite far back. The first use of chopsticks in English is in the 1690s, and it's in a travel book about Vietnam written by a man called William Dampier. Now, Dampier just turns out to be fascinating. He was an explorer, a privateer, navigator, pirate, probably part-time, and a naturalist. But he was the first person to circumnavigate the globe three times, quite the adventurer. And he also rescued Alexander Selkirk, who was the original sailor who inspired the story of Robinson Crusoe. Yeah. So that's how we got our rescue of Crusoe. However, how did he get the word? So it appears to have been a fairly clumsy borrowing of a Chinese term, which I'm probably going to mispronounce, so apologies. But I have it as quiet sea, and this translates as nimble boys. Now, it's formed from two separate words. So the first part, if we think about chopsticks, is chop. Now, that's a pidgin English word from Cantonese cap, which means urgent. So if you think about people saying, come on, we need to move, we've got to go chop, chop.
Yes.
That means fast, fast.
Yeah.
Okay. And the second part, stick, comes from the Chinese word si. Again, my Cantonese is not exactly brilliant, but I have found some examples that suggest this means son or boy. So if you put quick and son, then you get nimble boy, which is the direct translation of chopsticks. So it looks like they kind of cobbled together the word from Chinese into English. Now, of course, chopsticks aren't always used for food. Anybody who's ever learned anything in the piano has probably played chopsticks, because your fingers resemble a pair of sticks chopping down at the keys in a quick motion. But the real name of that piece is The Celebrated Chop Waltz, which sounds much more fancy. And it was written in 1877 by a 16-year-old girl called Euphemia Allen, and then published by her brother under a pen name. So it wasn't apparent that it was a girl that had done it. So in that case, it was a nimble-fingered girl rather than nimble boy chopsticks.
What a mine of information you are. That is fantastic. And to make the links between them all is simply, simply brilliant. So there you know, folks. And I was thinking about the Romans there. Should chopsticks be no good to them with the pasta or the spaghetti or anything like that anyway? So forget about the Romans. Okay, next one.
Next one is April. And this one does maybe have a bit of a Roman link, because most of our names of months are actually set by Julius Caesar and some of the later emperors as well. But April is an exception. And it's quite a fun exception because it's not set up by a man. It's set up by a woman. In fact, two women, two goddesses, which I think is quite appropriate because we still use April and Avril as girls' names. So if you are called April or Avril, listen in and you'll find out some of the history. So the earliest word for the month was actually Easter Monad in Old English. So basically Easter month, which does make perfect yes. sense. Easter itself was named for the goddess Istra, whose name is linked to words for the east and the rising sun. She was worshipped by the Anglo-Saxons, and then her name was adopted by the new Christians for that, you know, that time of year and that celebration. In much the same way we kind of stole Christmas from Saturnalia as well. But over time, Easter Monad got replaced. So by the 1300s, we're calling it April instead. It's a direct borrowing from Old French Avril, which is still the name used in modern French. And they borrowed it from Latin Aprilis. So Aprilis was the second month in the ancient Roman calendar, which actually started in March, which is a bit of a head wreck. It's why it's December is the 10th month, dec meaning 10. Mm. But to be honest, your mind will melt if you try and work out the Roman calendar. However, how was it Aprilis? It's not a number. It's named for Apru, who was the Etruscan version of the Greek goddess Aphrodite. Now, Aphrodite, you might know, was yep. the goddess of love and fertility. And given the link between spring and fertility and lots of new babies and new plants and birds, that's how we get Aphrodite being involved. So if you're called April or Avril, you're actually named after a beautiful goddess of love.
There you go. And I never would, funny enough, only you tell me now, have associated the Avril with the April. But there you are. Both come under the umbrella there. That's so interesting. So love abounds if you're called April or Avril. The third word I have to mention, because I'm getting grief about this in here all week, Grace, to be honest with you, predicting good weather and dry weather. And again, it's still raining out there, but it is on the way. Your third word. I love it. It's so appropriate. We've had loads of it. Precipitation.
Precipitation, too much of it this week yes, for my personal yes. taste. But I heard you, you know, you're promising that it's going to dry up. So we're fingers firmly crossed
Please
for that.
Please God, yes.
Yeah, so my association of precipitation is it's another word for rain. It actually covers a little bit more than that. So it's formally defined as all types of atmospheric moisture deposited on the Earth's surface, including snow, dew, frost, hail, and of course, rain, which is the one we see most often here. The idea of precipitation being a form of water falling from the sky goes back to the 1600s, but the word itself is actually quite a bit older. It joined English in the late 1400s and was spelled somewhat differently because Old English spelling is a bit wonky, but you have to love them. It arrived with two meanings, one of which was casting down rebellious angels from heaven. So Lucifer was precipitated from heaven, for example. And the other use was in alchemy, which eventually gave us chemistry, where precipitation was the separation of a solid from a solution. And they still use that in chemistry today. Mm. I checked with my son because he does chemistry. It was borrowed into English from Old French and before that came from Latin, where it was precipitationem. I don't know if that's a Roman accent, but that's how I'm saying it.
You're doing it
and
good.
And that was for... the Romans can't come and give out.
No, they can't. Exactly.
So they that was for falling headlong or being hasty. So being quite precipitous would be, you know, going too fast. And it comes from praeceps, which is steep, headlong, or head first. So it was formed by joining pre, meaning before, and caput, meaning head. So head before feet, I guess. So you're going head over feet. And you put the two together and you get a very strong idea of an angel at some degree of speed falling head over heels from a great height.
It's amazing what can be read into one word, you know. Anyway, as you said there, fingers crossed, we're not going to have a lot of it over the coming week or so, please God. Now, your final word for us today, I have to admit, Grace, I did not know what this word meant. And I'm waiting for you to explain to me. The word is binky.
Yeah, binky is a fun one. This is one from the archives. I did this a number of years ago, but I remember thinking, I've never come across that word. And then when I researched it, I realized I actually had come across this word. So we'll see now. So it can be a noun or a verb, but where I fell across it was a verb, which is binkying. And this is the word for a big twisty hop that rabbits do when they're happy. Now, I love seeing rabbits in the wild, and I have to say I've never seen them binkying, but apparently this is a natural behaviour of rabbits. So possibly if you want to Google, you might get some natural history video that shows them binkying. But I love the idea of the rabbits just hopping in the fields for sheer joy. So that's where we actually have binky. But it's been used for lots of other things as well, not all of them related to rabbits. So a binky is a term for a soft toy or blanket that a small child might love. You know, your favorite little toy,
yes,
or your favorite blankie. That's called a binky. But it actually goes back to Edwardian England. So it was originally a name that was given to unnamed baby boys. So if you have the baby and you just haven't thought of the name, or you thought it was going to be a girl and then it turns out to be a boy. So if it turned out to be a boy, you could call it Binky temporarily. And if it turned out to be a girl, she'd be called Bunty temporarily, which I guess is where we get Bunty magazine, which
yes,
is the little comic book that I used to read when I was a child. Anyway, Bunty and Binky, there was a pair of them in it. And possibly as a result of that, Binky is also a trademark name in the US since the 1930s for a baby soother. Mm. So again, associated with something small or baby-like. The unusual one is anybody who reads Terry Pratchett's Discworld fantasy books. They're brilliant. And in that, there's a character of Death, and he rides on a very imposing horse, but the horse is called Binky as a kind of a joke that it's, you know, such an unusual name for an imposing, scary horse.
Yes.
However, if you do ever get a pet rabbit and you don't know if it's a boy or a girl yet, you could always call it Binky or maybe Bunty.
Why not? Why not? I know now. Thank you for educating us on the word Binky today. Now, back to the word I mentioned, our mystery word for listeners to invent a definition. Can I give you a selection of what's arrived today?
Oh,
and see
go for it.
What
I love
you think
these
of them. John says it's someone winking at another person while snorkeling. Interesting. Here's another one that's come in. When you have a cold and you're sniffling and you appear to wink at the same time. I think that's reasonable. Mm-hmm. And that really fits it. What about this one? It's a dessert from Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. An Oompa Loompa speciality.
Love that.
When you flash on and off your car indicator really fast, says another one. And what about this one here? When you try to impress a good looking guy or girl by laughing at his or her jokes, but you laugh so hard you accidentally snort, so you wink at him or her very fast to cover your embarrassment. Woo!
Oh no. Way. I think we've all been there, haven't we?
Yes. Do you want to offer us your take?
I'll put you out of your misery. Sadly, it's not any of those, but they're wonderful suggestions. Well done, everybody. So you could kind of guess it's snort and then wink put together, right? So snort in English goes back to the 1400s, and it's related to snoring and is basically named for the sound that you make. So if you think about a snort or a snore,
yeah,
fair enough, that all sounds a bit like that. I'm not going to demonstrate the noise. And then wink comes to us either from the Germans or possibly the Vikings, thanks to words that they had about bending and waving. So I guess your eyelids kind of bend over the eye. But the use of a wink as a signal dates back to the 1100s. So we've been winking at each other for a long time, but a snortly wink isn't a wink at all. So I was a little bit mean with this one because it's not English. It's actually Old Cornish. Oh. And a snortly wink in Cornish is a caterpillar.
Oh, God almighty. How would we ever have got that one? So there you are on Late Lunch today from Grace Tierney. You know now, caterpillars, when you see them in your garden, they're snortly winks. Brilliant, brilliant, I have to say. Oh, listen, it's been a blast. Thank you so much for joining us. And I just want to remind listeners, you can check out Grace's blog and books at wordfoolery.wordpress.com. That's wordfoolery.wordpress.com. It's all there. Till next month, thank you so much, young woman.
Thanks a lot, Jerry. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, Grace Tierney there. Fooling around with words on your Late Lunch. Now, let's do this on Late Lunch.
Knock, knock. Who's there? That's how it works. It's called...
Comedy?
Comedy.
Comedy, comedy.
Comedy, sir.
Comedy. Comedy.
Classic comedy.
Classic comedy.
On the Late Lunch.
I love comedy.
We love giving you a laugh on Friday, and this one certainly will. It's the wonderful Greg Davies, and he's on the Graham Norton Show with a classic tale.
I went home one weekend, and I was in my 30s. I was probably 33 years of age. I went home to see my mother, and then I went back. And while I was at home, my mother did my washing for me, because I was only 33. And then I went back, and on the Sunday night, I got really drunk, and then I went for a curry. And then the next day I went into school. I went into school, and it was a school in Slough, and it was quite a rough school, but they had a really brilliant hearing impaired department. So there were hearing impaired kids who, you know, struggled. Mm. They were really looked after in the school. Anyway, I was really hungover. I went there, and about break time, I felt really uncomfortable. I thought, something's not right, you know? So I went to the toilet, and I pulled my trousers down, and some of my mother's knickers had got... had got mixed up in the wash she'd done, and I was wearing my mother's underwear. And I went, oh, God, oh, no! Oh, I remember going, oh, you loser, this is... such a low point, you fucking loser. And then the curry and the booze kicked in from the night before. So I did like a fecal Jackson Pollock. And I started going, oh God, not this as well. Oh Jesus. So I cleaned myself up and I pulled my mother's pants back up. And I went back into the classroom and I saw one of the hearing impaired kids just looking at me like this. And that's when I remembered that I had a microphone directly. So maybe man down isn't that far from
it. I have to say, one of the funniest ever. Can you just picture it? The wonderful Greg Davies there bringing us our comedy on Friday afternoon on your Late Lunch. It just shows you. Oh, you have to be on your guard always. You can just picture him with the microphone. Mic'd up, back to the class, and him in the depths of the distress for sure. Yes, comedy on Friday. Wonderful Greg Davies. You're with Late Lunch on LMFM Radio this Friday afternoon. Anybody watch the... Return of Gladiators on the television recently? It's back, yes. It was on years ago and they revived it on the BBC. It's been a huge success. And they're making a new series, the second series, for next year. It's been so well received. Did you know that the winner has big connections in the Northeast? Yes, to Termin Feckin. And she's joining me next, Marie-Louise Nicholson. I did mention a few moments ago... Gladiators, what a series it was when it was originally broadcast on UTV. Well, it came back this year on the BBC, and again I say it was a huge success. The viewing figures were massive and a second series is planned already. But did you know the woman who won Gladiators has big connections to the Northeast, in particular Termin Feckin, and she's on the line with me now. Marie-Louise Nicholson, welcome to the show.
Hi, Jerry. How are you?
I'm really good. Well, may I say from everybody here again to you, congratulations. What a wonderful win.
Oh, it was insane, Jerry. Insane to watch you back. And it's been amazing ever since.
Tell us about your connections to Termin Feckin, please, for the to start off.
So I grew up in Termin Feckin. So I went to Termin Feckin National School from the age of 5. And I was there all the way up to the age of 12.
And of course, you're very familiar with the area as such. And then your family moved away. Is that it?
Yeah, so we moved up to Dublin and I went to school then in Dublin, but very much still say that I'm from Termin Feckin.
Ah, good woman yourself. There you go. You can take the woman from the village, but you can never take the village from the woman. I just love it. When I tell you, you were absolutely unbelievable right through. But I have to mention the semi-final. It looked as if you were gone, didn't it, in the semi?
Yes, I was just smiling the whole way through. And I thought I was gone. And then next minute, I'm up onto the beam and I'm over and I take a shot at it and I'm over. So it was insane. It was absolutely insane.
How did you come to enter Gladiators in the first place? Because remember, it was very new, back on our screens again. I don't know whether you'd even remember it from the original series.
I know, yeah. So I was about 3 when it first came out back in the 90s. And I used to watch it. I didn't watch it, but I definitely watched it on repeat, like when I was about 5 or 6, watching Wolf and Jet. But then me and my friend, one of my training partners, we were both seeing ads pop up on Instagram. And he was like, well, we both apply, kind of like a competition thing to see who would get through. And we both applied and I got the call back.
Great stuff. So it was quite a rigorous process to get to the televised stage alone. It was filmed. This is the thing about it. Filmed last summer.
Yeah, so filmed back in June and it was over about 3 to 4 weeks. And you would do training and then the longer you stayed in, the longer you stayed up there in Sheffield. So it was up in Sheffield Arena.
And how did you manage to sit on that until the series went out on television?
Jerry, it was impossible. Some people knew because they were in the audience. So some of my family and friends, they knew and they had to keep it a secret. And they were like, this is impossible to keep a secret. How are you keeping it a secret? But I just had to forget about it. And then once it came back around in January, I was like, all right, I can live this dream again. So it was actually quite nice because you could just live the journey again, but with your family and friends.
You do realise, I know subsequently, the hit this has been for the BBC. It's been phenomenal. You know, they've been really taken aback by its success now in its new incarnation.
Exactly that, Jerry. Like, they didn't think it was going to be that big because people don't really sit down now on a Saturday night and watch TV as much as they did back in the 90s. So it's insane how many people sat down and people are saying to me, oh, it's brought my family back together and the kids and adults are sitting down to watch TV like old times. So it's been really, really heartwarming to hear.
I don't want to rub it in here, but when it was on UTV many moons ago, there was a big, big prize. It was so lucrative to win it. You got a trophy. Oh, Mary Louise, does this annoy you at all?
No, honestly, Jerry, I was just chuffed to even make the live shows, to be honest. And I know that sounds very, very, very humbling. But no, it was just a privilege to be there and be on the new remake and the first series ever to come back with it. So, yes, they did tell us like it will just be a trophy as a prize. And they did say about how it was money back in the day. But to be honest, nowadays, like just having the coverage of social media as well, opportunities are going to come, hopefully.
Yeah, they certainly will. Any chance of an opportunity coming that you would be offered the role of a gladiator per se?
Well, I wouldn't say no, Jerry. Oh. I wouldn't say no. If they came to me, they know where I am. If they came to me and asked me, I would say 100% yes. It'd be a dream. Who wouldn't want to go back as a gladiator?
Yeah, it would be fantastic. Do you ever think of a name? Would you have your name in your head that you might use if they asked you?
Well, I hadn't thought about it that well when they asked me back in the auditions and I was laughing because I said Clover and it couldn't be less of a gladiator's name. Like, who'd be intimidated by a gladiator called Clover? So I kind of rethought about it. We put it out into the public as well and they were coming back with all sorts of names like Milshawn and what else was there? Oh, there was some hilarious... Oh, the Feckinator. That's a good one.
I'd be afraid of that for sure. I work or a woman from out that direction as well. Our Louise. That's a good name now, the Feckinator.
But
I like
people,
that one.
Yeah, but people know from Ireland, they'd understand that because it's termed Feckin. People from England would be like, what is the Feckinator?
What are you talking about? I'm using an expletive there. Yeah, I know. But anyway, that's for another day. Hopefully it will happen. Your career now as a personal trainer and the fitness is far from where it began, because you started with photography, then you became a chef.
Yeah, I did. So I started working in private dining and chalets and also villas out in Portugal and France, and working for private families and being their private chef for 4 years, Jerry. And then I moved into the fitness industry because I became so interested in nutrition through the food side that I thought I'd get into fitness as well and have the two as a bit of a career path. So, and living that now in London.
So you know what to prepare in terms of foods. You have the exercise regime and the fitness as well. Ah, you have it all, Marie-Louise.
I'm a dream wife, Jerry.
You took the words out of my mouth, so you did. And I believe there's a potentially a dream husband on the horizon. Is that true?
No, it's very fresh and new, Jerry.
Ah, no.
He didn't sign up for this, and he's literally been thrown in papers and everything. And he's like, what is going on? But he's such a saint, and he's not in the same industry at all, but he's lapping it up like a legend.
I'll tell you one thing. It won't be a long time before he's in the same industry, looking at the pictures of him all across the media at the moment. You have it all for sure. How did you meet him? Did you meet him through Gladiators or not?
No, it was actually the new day and age slide in from Instagram.
Oh, I see.
I know. Do you know the saying, slide into your DMs, Jerry?
Yeah. I'd love to know, but I think I've just gone past that stage at the minute. But that's how it happened, really, really.
Yeah, he slid into my DMs.
There
yeah.
you go. Oh, my God, that's a new term now for me today. I'm learning loads on the show this afternoon. But you know something? The pennies after dropping with our Louise, my producer, who you've been in touch with over the last few days, you.
Oh, she's fabulous.
Oh, she's great. She's great. You're saying all the right things. She's in there smiling from ear to ear. Louise is just after saying to me, you are Alf Nicholson's daughter.
I am, yes.
Oh, mother of God almighty. The penny's only dropped. Your dad has been a guest on this show on a number of occasions over the years.
Oh, was he on talking about seatbelts?
No. Not at all.
Seatbelt safety.
Well, I'm sure it's part of his wide expertise. But of course, he is an expert in children, babies, children, isn't he? Of course he is. He's brilliant.
Yeah, he's an amazing guy. Yeah, he's a paediatrician and professor in the RCSI.
He is. And what a lovely man he is. And I remember actually going back to Termin Feckin. Now, you might have been a nipper with him. I met him down on the rocks in Clotterhead one night. I was fishing for mackerel and he came down with a number of his children. Do you ever remember going down along the rocks and seeing people fishing in Clotterhead?
Oh, my God, of course I do, Jerry. That's where we went all of our summers we'd spend in Clotterhead. We've got a little chalet on the beach there and we go up and fish on the rocks. Now, I'd probably watch the people fishing on the rocks and eat the fish, but less than doing the actual fishing. But, oh, my God, so many happy memories down there. I definitely met you down there.
Yes, you had to be with him that night. Your dad is a wonderful man and he's the most brilliant man in his field of expertise. He's written a number of books. As you say, of course, he is a professor now. But he was always a gentleman. I'm sure he was a lovely daddy and is a lovely daddy.
Oh, he's the biggest legend and my biggest cheerleader as well. And I'm his as well. So, I'm very, very lucky.
There you go. You never know who you'd get talking to, would you? Yeah, even on live radio, that you'd make a connection like that. Ah, oh, this is even...
Ireland's so small, isn't it?
It is. It's a small, wee country, is right. So for yourself, you know, this is a huge win for you. You're in the spotlight now at the moment and you're working. Tell us where you work there. You're in London. Where do you work in London?
Yeah, so I do one-to-one PT, Jerry, and... I teach classes in CrossFit, which is in district down in Southwest London called Wandsworth. And then I also am building an app to hopefully do online coaching soon.
So you're really busy with everything at the moment. You know, the world's your lobster, young woman.
Exactly that. Clawhead lobster, clawhead.
What about that for a name, the lobster? No. That wouldn't work for Gladiator. No, sorry.
I know. I wear fake tan, but that's a bit too far.
Forget about that. The shark. Yeah, that's more like it. You know what I mean? Get out of the way of the shark, or you'll be in big trouble. But you know, isn't it amazing that you entered really by chance and you go all the way and win the title? What were the Walshes like, Bradley and his son? What would they like to work with as presenters?
Oh, Bradley's hilarious. He's exactly what you see on TV. Really warm-hearted, like really witty and funny. And then Barney's just his twin, basically, just a little bit more quiet, but such nice men, and very happy to chat whenever they bump into you in backstage or on the stage.
Mm. And going back to your chefing days, I believe you prepared food for the great and the good. Ant and Dec, yes?
I did, yes. I did. Back about 4 or 5 years ago, I did a big party for Ant and Dec and also Holly and Philip.
Oh, really, really cool. Oh, by God, you move in the right circles. That's for sure. So what's the plans for the immediate future, for the next while? Staying in London, working in that gym, developing the online stuff. Is that it? And waiting for the call from the BBC to be the next Gladiator.
Exactly that, Jerry. And yeah, I just loved being, my dad actually always said to me from a young age that I'd be in TV. So I'm hoping to get into another show potentially. So we'll see. Watch this space.
Oh, it's terrific. It really is. And just another connection. My wife actually worked with your dad in the hospital. So there you go, you know. So
God almighty, so nice.
isn't it just so nice? It really is to talk to you today.
In Our Ladies in Drogheda.
Yeah, in Our Lady of Lourdes here in Drogheda, yeah, when your dad was there.
Wow.
Yeah, for sure. God almighty.
Oh, I'll have to tell him.
Tell him, yeah. Will you tell him that Miriam said hello to him and myself, and that we gave him a good old mention on the show this afternoon? Won't you do that for us? You will.
I will, of course. He'll be listening, sure, Jerry.
Ah, fantastic, fantastic. Well, listen, we're delighted for you. Termin feckin to the core, Gladiators champion. Yay! And watch this space. Mary Louise Nicholson.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for joining me. God bless you. Take care of yourself.
Thanks for having me.
Not at all. Bye bye. Bye bye. Isn't she lovely? Lord almighty. Isn't it just an Irish thing? Who was her mother? Who was her father? Where did they work? Did you know them? Yes, we did. You know the crack. You do indeed. Louise, yesterday, the Stardust verdicts emerged. When we were on air yesterday, we just mentioned it coming up to 3. A local connection we just want to mention.
Yeah.
Kathleen Muldoon, she was 19 from Kells.
Carnaross, Kells, yeah.
Was she Carnaross? The eldest of 10 children. And she was a really fantastic girl at home, helping with the cooking, cleaning, all her siblings' homework. And she was just setting out on an independent life.
Had a new little car and wanted to do nursing.
Yes, and went to the Stardust that night and never came home. Shocking. We remember her today. Yes,
absolutely.
From Kells, Carnaross, Kathleen Muldoon. She was only 19, one of the 48 who believed they, at long last, received justice yesterday in our courts. Now, they've been honking. You've been honking your horns all week. You've been honking for 100. Have you? And they're rolling in again today because I have €100 cash to give away thanks to Windsor Cluny. Have you a few there? We have a listen to the beep beeps.
I have. I'll just keep going with them.
Just okay. Keep going there. Go on.
Sean from Dundalk.
Come on, Sean.
That's brilliant. Sounds like a few chickens in the boot.
I love that. I love you. Beep beep, Sean. It's very nice indeed. Yes. Okay, next.
Sorry, I'm just going to Barbara in County Meath.
Okay. Oh.
Happy Friday.
Who's that? Barbara.
Barbara.
Oh, I love that one. I love that one. Go on again. Go on.
I'm just trying to...
I love Barbara's beep beep. That's a really good one. She's laughing away there in her sense. Okay. Christmas, happy Friday. Go on.
Ben in Grange Value.
Come on, Ben.
And then I went back.
Yay! Football man there, Ben. Yes, I love that
I'll
one.
I'll go. That's Mary great. Brennan.
Okay, Mary. Well, that's just a get out of my way. Move on there quickly. I'd say Mary's a very organised woman.
Very short.
There's no mess. I think your horn says a lot about who you are. Go on.
Karen.
Okay, Karen. Okay. Oh my God Almighty! Is that a real horn sound? That's the Dukes of Hazzard. Is right. Go on. Have you another one?
Breach in Rathcarn. Let me see if this actually plays. I'm not 100% sure if
one
it will.
Rathcarn could be quiet today.
We won't do that because I don't know what why it was.
Okay.
And we'll do an anonymous.
Okay. We've no name here.
No.
But let's listen to anonymous. Hold on. Here we are.
Okay.
Mary Rogan.
Mary Rogan. Oh, she even put her name at the end. I want to give the prize to Barbara. I'm giving the prize to Barbara today. Is that okay?
Barbara, that's
I love
fine.
Barbara.
You
Is
want
that
do it
okay?
Again?
Yeah, have you,
it again?
Have you got Barbara's there again? Go on. Come on, here we go.
Happy Friday!
Barbara, we love it. €100 cash is yours, Barbara, and Late Lunch is out. Thanks to everybody who honked the horns for us during the week. And I mean, you were just great, as usual. Anyway, that 100 is yours. We'll be in touch to make the arrangements from Windsor, Cluny. Congratulations to you. What else was there to say here? Was something else? Oh, yeah. You hung your...
Yeah, don't go there.
Can I say it?
No.
All right, okay.
I'm looking out and it's still raining.
Oh, no, it couldn't be. It was when Cathy Crinan was leaving. Cathy Crinan said to me, "Jerry, you'll be okay.
Looks like it's raining." You're a Jonah.
And you filled the line this morning, did you?
You've been saying on Tuesday it's going to be dry tomorrow. Wasn't. Wednesday, it's going to be dry tomorrow. Oh, thank God, no rain. It wasn't. Thursday, yes, yesterday, yourself and that lady from Met Aaron. Oh, dry next 9 days, absolutely. So I says, right, that is absolutely amazing.
Yes.
I got up early this morning, did 2 loads of washing, got all the towels in, everything, put them all on the line, started, the heavens opened.
I don't mean to laugh.
I actually had to go outside and stand there to feel the rail drops because I says, no, this can't be right. Jerry said there'd be no rain.
Hold on a minute. Aoife Keighley is the meteorologist. Aoife is the meteorologist. And she said, now look, I do want to reassure everybody.
Don't listen to him.
You know who I'm sounding like here? Michael Fish. Do you remember Fish?
Oh, yeah.
And Britain was flattened. And
snow next.
Well, it's been cold enough in recent days for snow for sure. But look at really now. Come on, let's be realistic about this.
Meant to be warm.
I am looking at. Look here, I have it. Look, hold on a second. When I just open up my phone here, Met Aaron on my phone. I rely now. I'll tell you, I do on Met Aaron. Here we go. And I'm just going to look at it. The 5 day ahead. It gives a picture.
Are you looking at the whole country or just
look? Listen. Hold on a minute. This is general for so. Part sun and a little bit of cloud today. The sun is on the way. Sun tomorrow, sun Sunday, a little bit overcast Monday, sun Tuesday, overcast Wednesday, Thursday. But there is no rain in the forecast up to next Thursday.
There was no rain yesterday in the forecast for day either.
None. There's no rain in the forecast. Now, come on. Let's be positive about this.
It's been positive since Tuesday.
I know, but we have to try. Poor
washing.
We have to try and do something to keep people's spirits up. It's on the way. It's getting drier. It's getting calmer. And you will be able to get a lot done in the gardens over the weekend and beyond. That is for sure. I'm resigning my position as
well. I won't get the sunglasses out just
no,
yet.
No, don't do that. You'd be advised not to. You certainly would. Don't do that. Just hang back a little bit on those.
I won't wash my favourite clothes.
But when I tell you, I was looking out the back window just before I came in here today and the birds are going mad. I think I have a blackbird's nest in the garden, right? Which I'm delighted with. I saw the two of them there and flying into an area where I think they have a nest. And I saw a song thrush in the garden today, which I haven't seen in ages, Louise. You know, and there's a lot of building of houses, ditches being flattened down where we are. No homes for them, but maybe they've just migrated into the maturer gardens there to live. But anyway, I was delighted to see the thrush in the back garden today. There you are. Lovely in Dundalk. Look at that. Lovely in Dundalk. And 2 lines of washing out, says Breach. Now, good woman, Breach. I'm your man for the weather. I got it 100% right. Don't mind that Louise watch. I don't know where she lives. She lives in a place where the rain always falls. Coming
Karen
up,
Karen even said it here when you walked in.
Karen gave me the gun this morning as well. Stop. Anyway, after three on Late Lunch, we conclude Artist of the Week. Take that. And David Sheehan's here with a look ahead to the weekend sporting action.
It'll all be cancelled because it'll be lashing rain.
No. Please stop. Lovely to get a thank you message, Louise, isn't it? Did you see that one that just popped in there? Remember last week we got you to send us in pics of your radios. We wanted you to tell us all about your radios. And it's, read the little message I will to you. It says, "Hello, Jerry and all at LMFM. I received the lovely radio. Thank you very much." And Breed took it to Carrick Macross. "Love your show. Chat soon." That comes in from Mary Kate Kellett. Look at the radio. Look at the radio on. Do you see it there? And she says, "Thank you, Mary Kate. Big sun in Carrick Macross." There
well,
you
hopefully
go.
Hopefully it's coming this way because there's quite a dark cloud out there. I ran out to my car earlier a minute ago.
Is there?
Yeah.
I don't know what it is.
Hopefully it's going the other way.
I think them buckets.
Maybe it's just over my head.
I think them clouds follow you and just say, we're gonna drown her now. And where's her clothes?
Yeah, but they're sent by you, obviously.
No, I wouldn't do that. Are you mad? Mad a chance. Anyway, thanks, Mary Kate. Forget enjoy your listening on your lovely new radio. Now let's reprise this. Oh, I can't wait to go to the airport again. I didn't think anybody, you know, Louise, I said this, would get that one today. And I was
somebody
wrong.
Did.
I was wrong. Now, some people thought it was Bosco.
When
you think of it, it could sound like that. And there was a couple of other suggestions there as well. But that is the TV theme from Wish You Were Here, the holiday programme that went out on UTV. From 1974 until 2003. It went all those years.
Wow.
And the main presenter was Judith Chalmers. People might remember Judith. Mm. She was the main presenter of it. Anyway, Sinead Boylan, well done to you. You get a prize on Late Lunch this Friday afternoon. Congratulations to you. Now, time to do this on Late Lunch.
The Late Lunch Artist of the Week.
Artist of the Week.
My Artist of the Week all week are Take That. What a wonderful, wonderful band they are. And my song today is from their third studio album called Nobody Else, released on the 27th of March 1995 and written once again by lead singer Gary Barlow. That man is some talent. The song topped the UK singles chart while it also charted at number one in 31 other countries. That's the truth. All over the world. It was their one and only big hit in America, believe it or not. Yes, they only had this one. That was the only one in the States. Anyway, it stayed at number one in the UK charts for 4 weeks, and it's one of the fastest selling singles of that particular year. Anyway, it is my favourite Take That song. It's Take That, my Artist of the Week, and Back for Good.
I guess now it's time for me to give up. I think it's time. Got a picture of you beside me. Got your lipstick mark still on your coffee cup. Oh, yeah. Got a fist of your emotion. Got a head of shattered dreams. Gotta leave it all behind now. Whatever I said, whatever I didn't mean it. I just want you back for good.
Want you back, want you back, want you back for good. Whenever I'm wrong, I tell you, I want you back, I want you back. You see, I want you back for good. I guess now it's time that you came back for
good.
Ah, simply magical. Take that, my artists of the week, and Back for Good on your Late Lunch this Friday afternoon. Terrific. What a songwriter Gary Barlow is. And they're appearing in Ireland, I'm sure, this year. Yes, they are coming to Ireland. New artists or artists of the week for you next week, round about the same time on Late Lunch from Monday. Final break of the day in the week on the way and afterwards, as is our want each Friday. Our man David Sheehan looks ahead to the weekend sporting action. David Sheehan is waiting patiently to talk about sport. Afternoon again, David.
Afternoon, Jerry.
Let's begin with the League of Ireland tonight. Dundalk in Sligo this evening. Last time they met, well, Sligo hammered Dundalk in Oriel Park, but there have been positive signs from the Lily Whites in recent matches.
Yeah, I watched the game against Bohemians on Monday. Now, it wasn't a classic by any means. It was a gale blowing down the pitch into the goal that Dundalk were attacking in the first half, and maybe that played a little part in the fact that they dominated possession in the first half. But the old problem that we've talked about all season, Jerry, they've scored three goals. One of those was from a set piece on the opening night, the Jamie Gullen free kick. They just can't score, and they didn't have a shot on target on Monday night. They never really, you know, worked Sharatka or looked like working them. They obviously didn't work them. They didn't have a shot on target, as I said, but they didn't really look like opening Bohemians up too many times, in spite of the fact that they had a lot of the ball. So that being said, you wouldn't have looked at it. And I was chatting to a few Bohemians friends of mine afterwards. They were like, you wouldn't have thought that Dundalk were bottom of the table to look at the way they played. So maybe it's the fact that there's a little bit of a bounce now that Stephen O'Donnell's gone. I'm not sure what the atmosphere was like around the place while he was there. Maybe things were just gone a little bit stale, but they definitely looked like they were on the way up in terms of the performances, and hopefully up the table, Dundalk fans will hope. So, you know, Sligo got a bit of a beating last week against Shamrock Rovers. I don't know that they're, you know, they started the season reasonably. I'm not sure that they're all that good. Drogheda should have taken something from the game down there as well. So, again, I would fancy Dundalk to go there and come away with a point, but it's just a matter of if they can get that elusive goal and get their first win of the season, because it's been a long time coming. But I back them to get a point. It's kind of hard to see where the goals are going to come from and therefore where the win is going to come from. But they did look defensively solid, so I think they can come away from Sligo with something tonight.
Hopefully they will. Now, you're at the Bohemians Drogheda game in Dalymount Park. Drogheda's only win this season in the league has come against Bows at home. Five draws. They're the draw specialist of the league. They haven't been outclassed by any side really in the league, bar Waterford that crazy night. And last week against Derry, losing two key men, they won't have them again tonight. Their number one keeper is out as well. Dalymount, always a difficult place to go.
Yeah, and they've only won once there since they've come back into the Premier Division in 2021. That was in 2022, which you may remember was the game that secured their status in the Premier Division for the following season. It was Dale Rooney who got the winner on that occasion. Of course, he'd be lying out against Drogheda tonight for Bohemians. Yeah, and like you said there, Drogheda have been really good, but I always come back to something that Kevin Doherty said to me last year when they were playing well and weren't getting results. He's like, we're going to go through a spell where we don't play well, or where we're missing key players, or where we got suspensions, whatever, and we're not going to play well, and we're going to lose. So when we're playing well, we have to be getting those wins. Now, they have been really good in recent weeks, I think, and they've been a little bit unfortunate, particularly against Shelburne and Pats, to not win those matches. We all know what happened at the end against Shelburne, but they probably should have put Pats away as well. They drew that one 0-0. So last week against Derry was a bit of a bonus for them. Two all draws back-to-back with a very different feeling after each game, given the way they went. So look, at again, the record at Dalymount is really poor. They're missing Evan Weir. They're missing Andrew Quinn. Luke Heaney is back from suspension. Adam Foley is back as well. Doesn't look like Andy Wogan will be back, as you said. But it'll be interesting to see whether they go with the back three again tonight, because they switched to that in the second half against Derry, and it made a massive difference to the flow of the game. So whether they'll go with that tonight or whether they'll go with the back four, I don't know. But they have always struggled at Dalymount. Probably ambitious to call a win there. But again, I always get it hard to back against Drogheda in terms of digging out a point. But I'd say a point is probably the best I can hope for, given the way things have been there in recent times and visits to Fibsborough.
Okay, so that's the League of Ireland, done and dusted. Let's talk briefly about the Premier League, the greatest league in the world. I have to laugh indeed after the European week we've seen. Anyway, in the Premier League, Liverpool and Arsenal, smarting from European defeats, are both away. Arsenal are at Wolves, Liverpool at Fulham. They both need to win, will they?
Well, Jerry, as the old song goes, from Arsenal's point of view, I think this might be where the story ends for them. I have a feeling bad defeat last week against Aston Villa. And as if I wasn't depressed enough coming out of the Meade game last week, somebody tells me that Arsenal are 2-0 down against Aston Villa. I was not in a good mood last Sunday night, I can tell you that much. But yeah, I have a feeling Arsenal might just come unstuck against Wolves. It's a tough enough place to go. They've had a decent season under Gary O'Neill. So I have a feeling Arsenal might just come off the rails. That loss last week against Villa, I don't think was a fatal one. But in terms of the knock-on effect that it has, they were poor against Bayern during the week. Like, that's not a great Bayern Munich team. And Arsenal didn't really show a huge amount of invention. It's actually surprising when you look at that performance during the week, how they've gotten so far into the season and done so well without an out-and-out number nine, because that's what they really need to address in the summer, I think. But I have a feeling that Wolves might do them on the weekend and that would be the end for Arsenal. For Liverpool against Fulham again, like, having played last night and, you know, having not had a couple of, you know, had a couple of bad results back-to-back. Palace one last week was a real... Nobody saw that coming. So, yeah, I think Liverpool may drop more points, maybe a draw on that one, but it's looking more and more like City every week, isn't it, Jerry?
It certainly is. And talking of City, they're in the Cup semi-final against Chelsea, and the other one is a fairy story. Coventry taking on Manchester United, both at Wembley. In a word, City-Chelsea, who's for you?
Chelsea.
Ooh, and Coventry United, come on, say it.
You know, so much written about Mark Robbins this week and his contribution to the Alex Ferguson dynasty back in the 1990, wasn't it, when he scored that goal against Nottingham Forest. It's hard. Look, United aren't great, but surely it'll have too much for Coventry.
I'll go Coventry. A Chelsea-Coventry final would be fantastic. Anyway, let's see what happens. Let's quickly move to GA. Hurling in focus this week, both Louth and Meath in action. Meath in the Joe McDonagh Cup, away to Down.
Away to Down, lost their manager at the end of the league, had a terrible league campaign, lost to Down in the league. All signs pointing towards a Down win there, I'm afraid.
And in Nicky Rackard, Louth have home advantage against Armagh. Always sticky opponents for Louth when it comes to the hurling clashes.
Yeah, they met in the National League and Armagh won by 3 points in that one. That was an away game for Louth. They're on home soil this weekend, just a short hop across the wall for Colum on the weekend. So, you know, Louth lost last weekend to Roscommon. They're both off defeats. Armagh lost to Donegal. I think home advantage might just swing this one for Louth. The league game, there was very little between them. So I think home advantage might just turn that around for Louth and they'll get the win.
And just one last word on news breaking around lunchtime today. No Irish international soccer manager back to soccer until the autumn. Your name isn't in the hat, is it, David?
Well, you're holding me up, Jerry. I might be getting a call any minute now. But it's incredible, really. And I think the way they went about it yet again, it was an in-house interview. It was a very soft soap with Mark Hannum. I mean, they must have known that wasn't going to go down well with the press and the wider Irish fan base, because there weren't any really tough questions asked. I don't know. It kind of makes me despair. At even the details below the important stuff aren't being done right. So I don't know where you go. They're looking at John O'Shea coming back in on an interim basis again. Who knows? We'll end up with Stephen Kenny will be asked to come back in at this rate of going, or Giovanni Trapattoni. It's farcical, Jerry. It's hard to know what to say at this stage. It really is.
It really is. Anyway, David, good luck to Drogheda and Dundalk tonight on their travels. Live coverage on lmfm.ie. Talk to you next week. Thanks a million.
Thanks, Jerry.
David Sheehan there, our man on sport, bringing us to a conclusion of the week on Late Lunch. A big thank you to your listeners for joining us every day, to our guests on the show, and to my producer Louise Walsh. Couldn't do it without her. I hope her washing is all right when she gets home. Eddie Caffrey's on his way with the drive here on LMFM Radio. We'll be back with a brand new week of Late Lunch, Monday 1:30. Have a lovely weekend in the sunshine.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/acast. That's burrow.com/acast. burrow.com/acast.
Wow!
Nice!
Yeah!
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.